Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the happenings, the information, and the reports of what is coming upon the land. I hope that you have been enjoying these broadcasts. I hope that they are ministering to you. Some of you have been communicating with me that God has been leading you to leave the churches that you were attending because you were not being fed or you were just getting tired of the lies. I just want you to be encouraged, brethren. Those of you that are out there, you don't feel like there's a place where you live in your town that really is bringing the truth out to you. I just want you to be encouraged that you're not alone, brethren. You're not alone in the wilderness. Many people that were used mightily in the Bible, they found God in the wilderness. These individuals didn't really see God in His true form or power until they went out into the wilderness. So I want you to be encouraged that you are not the only one, my brother or sister. Some of you have sent emails that you really are lonely and you're looking for a place to fellowship with. I also want to encourage you and tell you that I'm praying for you. And you know, brethren, as I talk to more and more of the remnant that is out there, it's starting to become clear that the future church may indeed be a church that is without walls, so to speak. Or it's a combination of a lot of people that are in the wilderness or a lot of people that fellowship in small, tiny groups in houses, home churches, home fellowships. So God seems to be telling some people that are fed up with the megachurch they're going to and the games that they're playing and the carnival and the show that they're doing with their milkshakes that they hand out and the speeches that are motivating. Yes, they sound good and positive, but those kind of services, unfortunately, are not feeding the entire family of the people that are communicating to me. You may be one of them. You just feel God telling you to come out of that. I really have a burden for that because I remember the number one thing that Jesus told Peter after he had risen again. He told Peter, "Peter, if you love me, you will feed my sheep." And I'm really having a burden for those of you that are feeling unchurched because I just want you to be fed. And I'm seeking God on how we can get the word to you. I have a burden for you, brethren. You're not alone. So let's just keep that in prayer. I estimate that there are many, many out there, God's remnant that are unchurched, but they're being fed in the wilderness by God Himself. Now, if you happen to be a pastor and you hear me saying this, Pastor, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of fellowship in the church amongst the body of believers. If you're the pastor of a Bible-believing church yourself, you know as well as I do that, unfortunately, the burden that you may have for your people is not the same burden that some other pastors may have in some small rural communities throughout this world. So some of those people, I am sure, feel lost and discouraged at times because, unfortunately, my brother, there are some towns that just have a lot of lazy hirelings that aren't doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. I'm sure that you do understand that there are some communities that are unchurched. Just pray for those that have no church body and church home. Anyway, what I wanted to say, folks, is that I hope that these broadcasts and these sermons that I am bringing to you will help you and bless you and encourage you. Because if you're not going to be able to find a church body or home out there, the least that I can do is hopefully bring you some words of encouragement that can challenge you to walk stronger in your walk with God. Now, I want to move on, and I also want to say that today's broadcast is going to be very, very interesting, and in fact, it might be a little bit spooky and scary. So arm yourself with the mind of Christ. I'm not telling you that so that you can be full of fear. I am telling you that because I just want you to know that this message is very important, and you really need to hear it. Now, if you know how to do it after this message is finished, I encourage you to download it and copy it to a CD or flash drive or any way that you know possible and share it with your friends. I need your help to spread this message. By the way, I know that some of you are spreading this message, so I really, really appreciate it. God bless you for doing that. Now, as I stated, today's broadcast is going to be very interesting, and when I was preparing the information and the message and this sermon and the things that I wanted to talk about, I was debating how much information I should tell you because I don't want you to be overwhelmed with anxiety over the things that we talk about and discuss, but at the same time, you need to know the truth. I do understand, and I know that these days are becoming dark for some of you. Some of you might be going through a purging or a trial that you have never gone through ever in your life. So right now, things are very hard. They're shaky, they're unstable. Honestly, they're just scary. So for those of you that are going through that, I appreciate you for still listening to me, because I know that my message is not easy to listen to. But I want to just take a quick moment and say a prayer for you, for the peace of God to just overshadow you. So let me just do that, brethren. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for all the listeners that are out there. I pray for every person, whether they're in their car or in their home, or they're listening to me on a headset, or they're at work, wherever they may be, God, I pray for them. And Father, I ask that your Spirit would go out and go forth to every person listening right now. And God, let the peace that passes all understanding just overshadow them. Let it guard their heart and their mind in Christ Jesus. Father, I ask this special prayer upon them, God. Let them not have fear as we discuss the things and the matters that are at hand, God. Let them not be full of anxiety. Let them not be overwhelmed and overcome with oppression or depression and darkness, God. But Lord, just give them a moment, God, to enjoy your word. And we thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Here we are. There are several approaching storms that I can view from up here on the wall. Yes, that's right, folks. There is more than one storm that is approaching. By now, we can all agree that we are witnessing an economic downturn. Many corporate stores are downsizing or shutting their doors entirely. Some have even gone bankrupt. For those of you that go to my website, by the way, that's watchmanscry.com. And for those of you that come here regularly, you can see on the front page that there are regular news stories that are placed there that talk about what is happening around the world. Anyway, oil, what is oil doing? Well, folks, I remember in my last broadcast, I stated that we just broke the $140 resistance barrier, and the next resistance number was going to be $150. Well, here we are. Today, oil closed at just over $146. 146, brethren, that is a historical record. How high is it going to go? It's going to go higher. And there's some news that we're going to be talking about later that will discuss that very thing and how it's going to affect our lives. Now, these events that are occurring, folks, are they just an economic correction? Is it all just a temporary glitch? What do you think? Now, deep down inside, way deep down inside, you know that things aren't normal, don't you, folks? You can feel it. Things are not normal. But what is it? What is going on? Well, there are several ways to explain what's happening, folks. In the spiritual realm, we're witnessing the proverbial spanking from heaven. I know that there are some of you that do not want to hear that, but for years, the prophets of God have been warning that these days were coming upon us. In fact, David Wilkerson has been predicting this for decades. Some of you have read his books out in the 70s. He talked about it. The prophets of God have been trying to warn for a long time. And when the prophets of God did warn, their message was clear. The people of God must come back to their first love. But did the people listen? No, they did not. Instead, the church went in a complete opposite direction. And what happened, brethren? Well, we see what has happened. We are witnessing what has happened over the years. The false gospel became stronger and it prospered. The message of the cross was replaced with motivational speeches. And the people swallowed it up, didn't they? And today here we are. The church is full of sin. Abortion is in the church. Adultery is in the church. Homosexuality is in the church. As a result of that, we are experiencing the spanking from heaven. Now, I have received some flack from some people that have told me that, how dare you say that God is judging this land? It just doesn't roll off your lips very well and comfortably, does it, brethren? We don't like to admit that. God would not judge America. God wouldn't judge this land. We've done so much good.
We've done so much good, brother. God wouldn't judge our country.
I wish that I could agree with that statement, but unfortunately, brethren, that's not what we find in the Bible. The Bible is very clear that when a land sins and forgets God, then God sends his judgment. And he does it in a variety of ways. He can do it in famine, pestilence, by bringing war upon the land, a variety of ways. We are very guilty right now. We're not innocent. This land is full of corruption. It's full of drug use. It's full of pornography. It's full of adultery and The abominations, all the commandments have been broken. God has been taken out of the schools. The prayers have been forgotten in the schools. And then today the children are taught that we come from ooze, from the ground. And as a result, we have a generation of young people that are being raised without a moral barometer, without a compass, and they're living out the results of that. We have young people who only care about themselves. We have a generation of people that are selfish and have forgotten God. Now, in the midst of that mess, there's pockets of Christians here and there. But overall, for people to say that God wouldn't judge us because we're Christian, no, brethren. We have dropped the ball on that. We are no longer a Christian nation. We need to come to terms with that, and we should admit that. We're not Christian. So the spanking from heaven is what we are witnessing, brethren.
God wouldn't spank us. We haven't done anything bad. Or everybody sins. Look at Europe. They sin worse than us.
To whom much is given, much is required, my brother. That's the way it works. We started with a heritage with God, but we have forgotten that heritage, unfortunately. Look at California. California. Woe to California. In a previous show, I spoke to you, California. A few broadcasts ago, do you remember? I declared, California, that God will not be mocked. Your recent laws, your laws that allowed homosexuals and lesbians to participate in an institution that was given to us by God, marriage, you celebrated your abominations. You shook your fist at your Creator and shunned His commandments. Therefore, you, California, you are hearing heaven's response right now. The reprobates burned in their lust one for another, and now your land burns, California. Fires, 1,700 strong, which started by lightning from above. You have forgotten your Creator, but your sin has been recorded in the Chronicles of God, California. It's no accident, folks. It is no accident that California experienced a night of unprecedented lightning strikes. How many of you heard the news about that? On June 20th, Friday, California experienced, and the report put it this way, unprecedented lightning strikes. I saw several stories. The numbers were three different numbers, actually, what I read. But the numbers ranged from 4,000 to 5,000 to 8,000 lightning strikes occurred on California's land that night, Friday, 2 weeks ago. Up to 8,000, brethren. Now think about this. Question, what began 4 days before the lightning strikes in California? What started? How many of you can remember what started? I'll give you the answer. Gay weddings started in California 4 days before the unprecedented lightning strikes.
Well, that's a coincidence.
You really think so? Brethren, folks, don't make the same mistake that the foolish ones in California made. God sees everything. In Jeremiah 5:21, it says, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, says the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? But this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart, and they are revolted and gone." The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, folks.
Brother Nathan, yes, gay marriage is bad, but so are other sins. Why would God burn California?
Because, folks. By the way, thank you for that question. Here's the reason God would be especially angry at this. Let me explain it to you. The answer is because of types and shadows, folks. Now, many earthly cultural ceremonies that we practice here on earth are a shadow of heaven's truth. Did you hear what I just said? The things that we do on earth, the cultures, some of the traditions and ceremonies that we do on earth are types and shadows of heaven's reality, of heaven's truth. What do I mean by that? The marriage institution is a shadow that represents your eternal life, my brother or my sister. The marriage institution represents forever and ever with God. Did you know that?
It does?
Yes, it does. Marriage between a man and a wife represents the eternal marriage of Jesus, who is the husband, to the church, who is His bride. Now, brethren, think about that. Gay marriage is no big deal, really? You really think so, brethren? Now, listen to this. If gay marriage, which would have a bride marrying a bride, was to be translated into its spiritual heavenly equivalent, you know what that means, folks? If a gay marriage between a bride and a bride was translated into its spiritual equivalent, do you know what that means? That means that you would receive no eternal life. You would not get to go to heaven. Why? Because the second coming of Jesus will be the fulfillment of what real marriage is. Christ will marry His church. Gay marriage mocks and it nullifies the marriage that Jesus, our husband, purchased with His own blood on the cross, brethren. Think about that. Jesus shed His blood that night of torment. He was up all night long and they brutally tortured Him. the crown of thorns, the whipping, the lashes, everything he endured was so that he would be able to purchase your life, your soul, forever to be married to him. Now, gay marriage is not just another sin, brethren. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. If a bride and a bride married, there's no heaven. If the husband and the husband marry, that means Jesus marries some other entity or deity up in heaven, and we're left out. Now, there's not another entity that Jesus could marry, so please don't send me hate mail on that. What I am saying is, Jesus has the marriage institution to represent him being one side of it, and us, the redeemed ones, the other side. Gay marriage mocks that. That is why it is a big deal. Now, if you're not really grasping what I'm trying to explain right now, I wrote an article called The Rapture Revealed Part 2 that actually talks about the wedding feast, the wedding ceremony, and how the wedding, the spiritual wedding between the church of God, his bride, and Jesus will occur someday. And the second coming will be that very thing. The second coming is the actual wedding ceremony where we, as the bride, will meet Jesus, who is going to be the husband. It is a very deep mystery, but this mystery is God's mystery, and it will be revealed to us when he comes to take us all home. So, yes, gay marriage is a big deal, brethren. It's a very big deal. But let's move on. Now, what else is going on? There's another piece of news that I want to share with you. It's not on the headlines right now. There's been some blurbs about it, and this is one of the points that I want to bring to your attention in this broadcast. But first, brethren, I want to qualify what I'm about to say. This may just be a rumor, and it may be a non-event and something that we really don't have to worry about. However, it is on the news, it is occurring, and if this thing does come to fruition, then it's going to change your life and my life, and it could really impact us in a very negative way. So that's another thing that I want to share right now.
What are you talking about, brother? You're scaring me.
I'm not trying to scare you, brethren. I'm not trying to scare you, but here's what I want to say. Today, I heard Texas Congressman Ron Paul speaking as a guest on a radio show. He was being interviewed, and he was talking about something that he is very concerned about, so I am relaying what he said to you. Here's what's going on. He said that there's an important piece of legislation that is on the table in the House of Representatives right now. It's called H.R. 362, or House Resolution 362. Have any of you heard of it yet? Hopefully, you won't have to hear it because it'll just die and go away. However, this bill could be bad news for our future. What is this bill? House Resolution Bill Number 362 was introduced on May the 22nd, so it's a little over a month old, and it still hasn't been voted on, but it's on the fast track, and it may be voted on very, very soon. Now, this bill is on the fast track. Like I said, it's on the fast track to passing. It already has 220 signers, and it's not a bipartisan bill, meaning that both parties are for it. There are 100 Democrats that are for it and 120 Republicans so far at the last count that are for this bill. Now, a staffer for Nancy Pelosi said that once this bill hits the House floor, it's bound to pass like a hot knife through butter. It's going to pass that quick, folks. So it has momentum, and there is also a sister bill that is almost an exact duplicate of this bill in the Senate, and it's called Senate Bill 580. So if you want to look those up, it's Senate Bill 580 and House Bill 362. Now, what is this bill about? What do they talk about? By the way, I'll just say it up front. It's about Iran. Okay? Now, let me tell you what the key points of this bill are. The bill demands that the president initiate an international effort to stop Iran's enrichment. It demands that the president do this. How? How does it demand this? It says by prohibiting Iran from receiving refined petroleum. That's the first way. So we would stop Iran from receiving, would that mean gasoline is refined or diesel fuel? Anything that is refined would be blocked and prevented from going into Iran. Also, the United States would impose inspections of all people, vehicles, ships, planes, trains, and cargo that enters or that leaves Iran. Folks, did you hear that? We would inspect every human being that goes into Iran or comes out of Iran. We would inspect every vehicle, every ship, every airplane, every train, all cargo. That means big ships. Everything that goes into or comes out of Iran, we would inspect it. Now, there is only one way that that can be accomplished. There is only one way, and that is through a blockade that surrounds Iran. Now, why is this serious? Well, because the only legal way to internationally impose a blockade around a country is through UN approval. Any country that wants to have a blockade around another country has to have the United Nations approve it first. A blockade of this type that is spoken of in this bill is basically an embargo at gunpoint. Now, under international law, this act would be illegal without UN approval and would be an act of war. The bill does not mention the need for UN approval. It does not mention taking the need to the United Nations for a vote. It just says the president must begin doing this. Now, this is not good on several fronts, brethren, because what it would do would make the world mad at the United States if we started this, because we don't have the agreement. We would be acting unilaterally, which is that cowboy mentality that makes the world mad at us already. We don't need more of that, so that's what this would be doing. Plus, the Iranians would certainly view this as an act of war. Now, we don't need a Gulf of Tonkin type incident to occur again in the Persian Gulf or in the Strait of Hormuz. We do not need that, brethren.
What's the Gulf of Tonkin?
The Gulf of Tonkin was an incident that occurred right before the Vietnam War, where supposedly one of our ships was being attacked by the North Vietnamese, and that started the Vietnam War. Now, we don't need that happening. So, this is very, very serious, brethren. I heard Ron Paul talking about this, and he said that if this bill passes, the speculators on Wall Street and in the commodities market for oil prices are going to go crazy, and oil could just shoot up sky high if this thing passes. He also said that if we do start the blockade overnight, the minute the decision was given for the blockade to start, gasoline at the pumps could shoot up to $5 or $6 overnight. Ron Paul said that. Now, again, brethren, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what he talked about and what he said. He's very concerned about this. Now, when are they going to vote on this? The Congress is in recess right now for the 4th of July holiday, but next week, when they come back, when they resume, it is possible that it would be brought up for a vote as early as maybe the 8th or the 9th. So, folks, if any of you have any influence on Congress people, you might want to give them a call and tell them not to vote on this thing, because we don't need another war, brethren. I mean, we really, really don't need another war, and we can't afford for our fuel prices to go up another 50%. I mean, it will kill the economy and the budgets of so many Americans. And this will not only be felt in America, brethren. This will be felt worldwide if this thing happens. Yes, it's a rumor, and hopefully it won't happen. But I have a question for you, brethren. If it is not a rumor and it does happen, are you prepared for expensive gas? Are you prepared for gas to go up to $5 or $6 a gallon? Of course not. Who would be prepared for that? Who wants to feel that? Who wants that pinch in their budget? But are you prepared for food to go higher? Because, folks, we can't kid ourselves. If gas goes up that high, diesel's going to go up even higher, and delivery prices are also going to go higher. Food's going to go higher. What will you be forced to sacrifice if this happens? None of us are ready. So this is what I wanted to say, folks. If it is indeed possible, I would encourage you to, in the next few days, I would encourage you, if you can afford it, to go to the store, go to the Walmart, and buy a few cases of some extra food while the prices are still low. That is what I would encourage. Now, not all of us have the money to be doing that, and I do understand that. But for those of you that do have the money, I would encourage that. Okay? It doesn't hurt to be prepared. Amen? I also want to say, brethren, if an actual war did begin, it may change our lives into a different kind of life for a long, long time. I find it interesting that there are a lot of news stories that are actually talking about how the attack is going to happen, where we're going to bomb, the areas that we need to be concerned about, the Strait of Hormuz. If any of you have looked at a map of the Persian Gulf, you see that pretty much all of the north beaches from east to west of the Persian Gulf is Iranian territory. And as we squeeze through the Strait of Hormuz, that strait is fairly narrow, and it would not be very difficult for the Iranians from their beaches to fire missiles at our ships from right there. It would not be difficult for them to be firing missiles at oil tankers, at ships, to be laying mines in there. Now, I know that our military had a report come out recently. They announced that we will keep the Strait of Hormuz open. Well, that's fine and dandy that you can say that. It would not be very difficult for a missile to skim along the water and sink some of our ships or sink some commercial ships. This is not a good situation that's developing, brethren. So, anyway, I'm touching this issue because it does concern us. If it were to happen, brethren, it's going to change our lives. financially, it could change our lives. Now, another thing that I wanted to say was Ron Paul also mentioned that he has been talking to other congresspeople and representatives on the Hill in Washington, and they are discussing amongst themselves, because, of course, they don't have all the, they're not privy to all the military information and the plans that are going to happen with our military, the congressmen. However, they are talking amongst themselves, and the word up on the Hill is, it is not a matter of if we attack Iran, it is a matter of when we attack Iran. In fact, the thing that they're discussing is, do you think we will attack Iran before the election or after the election? All right? So if you can, again, brethren, do what you can now to make arrangements now for food to get expensive. That means go buy some food. Anyway, let's move on. I have a prophecy end time study that I wanted to share with all of you. And in this study that I'm going to share with you, brethren, it is going to be a little spooky as well. If you are very overwhelmed with what we're talking about, I apologize, but you need to hear this information, okay? This next segment of this broadcast, I really feel that you need to hear it because it does concern the end times, and I want to explain another element of the end times so that you can understand what you see happening across the land. Now, here we are. The landscape out there looks very weird, doesn't it, folks? As I was saying, on several fronts, we can look up and see very odd days out there. In the spiritual realm, the things that are occurring in the church are odd. The things that are happening economically are very weird and odd. The job market is odd. Things are weird. Just last month, 62,000 jobs were shed in June. That's the sixth straight month of job losses, folks. 6 months straight. The foreclosure rates keep doubling and going higher and higher. Oil's at 146. And there's college students that are graduating from their colleges that are having a hard time finding work. You know, folks, I keep wondering, and I discuss with my wife, at what point do they actually admit that this economy is in the tank and they start admitting how bad it really is? Now, another story just came out recently that said we are officially in a bear market. The stock market is. That's not good. And if you look at some of the economies of certain states like Florida with the real estate market, if you look at Michigan, if you look at California with their housing market, there are some places in America right now, brethren, that if we were honest, we would have to admit that those states look very much like they are experiencing a depression in their economy. I've heard other reports that said tent cities are rising up throughout the land, throughout the country. People living in tents, in their cars, in their RVs, they're rising up. It's happening, brethren. It's starting to look more and more like that D word. I really don't want to face that, and really, I don't want to be admitting it to myself. I really don't, but I don't want to lie to myself either. So the days are very, very weird. I also find that in the midst of that, we have these weird services going on in Lakeland, Florida that are very disturbing. So things are not normal these days, brethren. They are not. So we can't kid ourselves. So here we are. If we want to put a name on what's going on in the land, I would say that the judgment of God is on the land right now. Now, denial is not a river in Egypt, folks. We need to face the fact that God wants our attention. So the question is, does he have yours? I can hear some of you saying, okay, God has my attention, so how long is this spanking going to last? That's a very good question, my brother. That's a very good question. But I think the real question should be, how bad is it going to get? Because, brethren, honestly, none of us can really know how bad it's going to get. But I am wondering about that. I'm wondering about that very same thing. How bad will it be? Well, I would like to present all of you with a few predictions. Now, the predictions that I'm going to share are based on a combination of what I find in end time scriptures, and they're also based on what I have observed in world events. Now, of course, I could be wrong in what I'm about to share, but there's a lot of evidence that says otherwise. So I think that most of us could agree that we are in the end times. I believe that the events that are found in the book of Revelation are about to unfold. Really? Revelation's about to happen? Well, hold on. Let me say it this way, brethren. It could be in the next few years, but it could also take longer. Of course, it could take longer. But nevertheless, things are very ominous and interesting looking right now, and it looks like a lot of the predictions in Bible prophecy are happening before our very eyes right now. But I must also qualify what I'm saying with the statement that it could indeed take a lot longer for Revelation to begin. I'm not saying it's about to begin, so please don't send me mail saying that I'm date setting, etc., etc., okay? However, it would be wise for us to study these matters because they will affect every one of us and our family if they happen to start unfolding in the near future. I think we could agree to that. Now, based on what I have found in Revelation, it's possible to get an idea of what is about to happen. I really feel that it's possible to know what we're going to be seeing happening real soon. So allow me to start, but where do I begin? Well, let's start with the political landscape that Revelation describes to us during the tribulation period. Now, during this time of the tribulation period, we're told that the world will witness the rise of a global dictatorship. It's going to happen, brethren, during the tribulation. We've all heard that, one world government, and we've accepted it. It's going to be a dictatorship, because the only way that people could be forced to take the mark of the beast would be if they were living under a dictatorship. So we can all agree that a dictatorship is in the cards during the time of the tribulation. In the Bible, in Revelation 13:1, and if you have your Bibles, let's turn to that right now, or write the reference down, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Are you there? Now let's read what it says. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That's Revelation 13:1. Now, most of us have heard of the beast, right, folks? You've all heard of the beast. The beast has had so many things written about it, so much speculation about it. There have been so many books, movies made, Hollywood movies, sermons from pulpits, all about the beast. And most people have arrived at a conclusion that all of the teachings that they have heard about the beast are true. There are so many people out there, brethren, they read the Left Behind books and they saw what the quote-unquote beast was in the Left Behind books. So because of that fiction that was written about it, they really are expecting the beast to actually look just like they saw or read about in those books. But many of the things that are written about the beast, brethren, are not true. They are not. They're fiction. They're fables. Example, many Christians really believe that the beast and the Antichrist are the same thing. How many of you have heard that? Some of you listening to me right now might even be thinking that right now. You mean the beast and the Antichrist are not the same thing? No, brother. No, sister. They are not. They are not the same thing. That theory is unbiblical and it's wrong. Revelation 13:1 tells us, plain and simple, that the beast consists of 10 kingdoms. I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads, 10 horns. On his horns, 10 crowns. So right there, we're told that the beast consists of 10 kingdoms that have 10 crowns on them. That's not a human, alright? The beast is the final end time empire that will exist before Jesus returns to earth. The beast also will be controlled by the spirit of Satan. It will have a very, very dark supernatural force in it. Satan himself will be the power behind the beast. The spirit of Satan has existed in other world beast empires in the past. The Bible says so. In Revelation 17:8, if you can, turn to that, brethren. Revelation 17:8, look what it says. Are you there? The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So what does that mean? That means that when John saw this vision, John is the one that wrote Revelation, Apostle John, this verse meant that the beast had already existed in the past in another kingdom. That's why it says, the beast that thou saw was. And then it went on to say, but at the time that John was writing Revelation, the beast was not existing at that time in an empire. But at the time of the end, the beast was going to rise again in a future empire. That's what that is saying. The beast that you saw was, it existed in the past. It is not right now, meaning it's not an empire right now. And it shall ascend again. So the empire that was in power during the time of the writing of Revelation at that time was the Roman Empire. So what this is saying is that the spirit of the beast was not alive in the Roman Empire, but it existed in a previous empire. What empire would that be? Well, if we look at the scripture tells us several empires that existed before the Roman Empire. And we can go all the way back to the Egyptian Empire, that one existed. We had the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Persians, the Greeks, and then, of course, the Roman Empire. So that's what that's talking about. Now, I'm not trying to confuse you, and if you're real confused right now, rewind me a little bit and listen to what I'm trying to say right there, but I'm not trying to confuse you. Also, I want to let you know that I have some notes on this lesson that I'm talking about right now. If you want to, you can download those notes or read along. Hopefully, that'll help you to understand what I'm trying to say. Now, based on what we just read, the beast is not the Antichrist, and the beast is not a man. Okay, brethren? Are you following? For some reason, it's not very easy to be told something and then be told something different. It doesn't compute very well. It doesn't get processed very easily in our mind and in our knowledge and our brain. We don't like to hear change like that. And I'm not trying to disturb you and upset you and all that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? As wise remnant, as the wise elect of God, we need to really understand what really is going to happen. And I really want to communicate how important this is, because what I'm about to share in the minutes ahead are going to depend on you understanding what I'm saying right now. So, in a quick review, the beast is not a man. The beast and the Antichrist are not the same thing, okay? Now let's move on. There's another fiction that has been written about the beast, and I want to touch that one right now. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, and look what it says right there. Verse 3. By the way, if you want to remember in the future what chapter in Revelation talks about the beast, here's a good way to remember it. The number 13 represents bad luck, so the beast is in chapter 13. That's where it comes up, so maybe that'll help you to remember. Okay, that's just a side note, but let's move on. Okay, Revelation 13, verse 3, look what it says. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered or marveled after the beast. Now, the traditions of man have told us that this verse means that the Antichrist will incur a deadly head wound. How many of you have heard that? That's what that means, right, Brother Nathan? That's what it means? No, that's not what it means. But I know that that's what you've heard, because I've heard it. I've read it. I read it in the Hal Lindsey books. The Antichrist will incur a deadly head wound, an assassination, if you will, and then he's going to come back to life. Folks, first I must ask, what are the heads of the beast? In order to understand if that's what that verse really means, we must understand, what are the heads? Because the verse says, I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death. Okay, what are the heads of the beast? In order to arrive at the answer, we're going to have to dig a little further into the scriptures. And fortunately, in Revelation chapter 17, we do find the answer to what the heads actually are. So turn a few chapters forward to chapter 17, and we're going to read in there. Now, in chapter 17, this is another side note, chapter 17 of Revelation is talking about Mystery Babylon, who is described as a woman, a harlot. It's a symbolic representation of an entity or thing during the tribulation period. Now, I'm not going to go into what Mystery Babylon is in this lesson. I'll do that in the future. So I'm just saying that up front, because when we are hearing about the woman or the harlot or Babylon, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about this entity, okay? Now, in Revelation 17, verse 3, look what it says. Revelation 17, 3. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Now, scarlet is red, so I saw a woman sit upon a red-colored beast. In this verse, we see that she sits over the beast and all the area that the beast occupies. Now, what area does the beast occupy? Well, the beast occupies the entire world. It occupies the entire earth. And there's a later verse that I'm going to show you in the book of Daniel. It confirms that, and I'm about to show you. But just know this. The beast sits over and occupies the whole earth, the world. And this woman mentioned in chapter 17 is sitting on top of the beast. So that means that this woman is also sitting over the entire world. Okay, that's what that means. I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet covered beast. Okay, Revelation 17:3. Now, if you go down to Revelation 17, verse 18, look what it says about the woman and her relationship to the beast or the kingdoms of the world. Revelation 17:18. It says, and the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So this woman not only sits over the entire beast, she also reigns over the entire earth. So this woman is occupying the entire earth. Okay? Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because I'm going to read another verse in a second, but I want to establish that the woman is sitting over the entire earth. She reigns over all the earth. In other words, the whole earth does her bidding. They do what she says. She has some power. She has some influence in the world. Now, let's move on. Go to Revelation chapter 17, verse 9, and look what it says. This is all happening in chapter 17, so look at verse 9. Look what it says. And here is the mine which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, in the previous verses, we just read that she reigns over the whole earth. She sits over the beast, which is over the whole earth. So this woman is sitting over the whole earth. And the seven heads are seven mountains that the woman is sitting on. So, based on what we just saw, brethren, this woman sits over the whole earth. Now, do you see the hint right there? Do you see the little clue that God gave to us? She sits over the whole earth, and this is described as seven mountains. Do you see it yet, brethren? Even 2,000 years ago, God told us that there were seven continents in the world. She sits over the whole earth. She sits on seven mountains. Very simple. That's what that's talking about. The seven heads represent the continents of the earth. It's very simple. Now, is that a coincidence that God said that? Of course not. God made the earth. He knows it. He knows how many continents there are. Now, I know that some of you have been told that the seven mountains are the seven hills of Rome, but folks, let's be honest here. Mystery Babylon and the beast occupy a much larger area than Rome. We just read that it's over the whole earth. So, we cannot allow ourselves, brethren, to be spoiled by the philosophies and the traditions of men. We need to be honest with ourselves and have integrity and read what the Bible says. It says what it says and it means what it means. So right here, the seven heads are the whole earth. Okay? Now, based on what we just read, the heads represent a continent or an area of land. Why am I stressing that? Because I'm about to show you something. Let's read Revelation 13:3 again. Go back four chapters, chapter 13. Okay, you there? Look at verse 3. Let's read this again. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled after the beast. Now, what does that mean? Well, according to how I just read this, by the time that the final beast empire rises out of the sea, what Revelation is telling us right here is that one part of the earth will already have a scar or a wound. What kind of wound? Go down to verse 14, and it's going to tell us what the wound was caused by. Okay, go down to 14, and let's read. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So the wound, folks, the wound was caused by the sword. Now in the scriptures, the sword represents war. We all know that. So this wound will be caused by war. But notice something, folks. Notice something about the wound. The wound had already occurred, and it had already had time to heal. Do you see that? I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. So, by the time the beast rises up, the wound happened already, and it had time to heal. Now, what does that mean? Well, based on what I see here, this could mean that between now and the time that the beast is revealed, there will be a section of the earth that will receive a very serious battle scar. Now, what kind of scar is that? Well, Revelation 13:3 says, I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded unto death. That sounds pretty damaging, folks. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us that if we are near the tribulation period, we can expect a fatal blow to occur on one of the continents of the earth between now and the time the beast rises up. That's what this means. A fatal blow, folks. Now, what possibly could do a fatal blow caused by battle, by war? Well, a variety of things could do it. But the thing that comes to mind right off the bat is a nuclear detonation. That seems to be the most plausible. But where could something like that happen? Which part of the world would be the most likely candidate? What future war would cause this? Well, there really is no way of knowing. We can't know that, folks. But based on what we see happening on the political landscape and the geographic landscape and the military landscape out there, one does come to mind right off the bat, a U.S. war against Iran, an Israeli war on Iran. In a post-9/11 world, a nuclear terrorist attack on American soil is not out of the question either, is it? Now, whatever it is, it's going to happen and then be healed by the time the beast rises in Revelation. So this raises another question. How long would it take for a nation to receive a fatal blow or damage like we just discussed and then heal from it? 1 year? 5 years? 10 years? More? This is a lot to keep in mind, isn't it, brethren? It's a lot. Something to really think about. We live in very, very interesting days right now, and a lot of the politicians that are out there recently have been saying that we can expect another 9/11 to occur either before the election or to throw off the election or in the first year of the new president, because that's based on President Clinton receiving a terrorist attack in his first year in office. In 1993, the World Trade Towers were attacked the first time. It was not anywhere near the scope of 9/11, but it did happen in the first year of Clinton's presidency. And then in the first year of Bush's presidency, we saw 9/11 happen. So I've heard some news anchors and politicians actually say that in the first year of our next president, which would be this coming year, 09, they can really foresee a terrorist attack happening in America or in some other part of the world. So these are very interesting days that we live in, aren't they, brethren? Now, let's move on. There's something else that I want to touch on in this lesson. The Bible doesn't really tell us why the world decided to allow the one world government to take over. It didn't tell us why the beast took over, why the people went along with it. We just know that it will happen, and we know that it will not be stopped. When the beast rises up, there is no way it will be stopped. No amount of bullets, no amount of civil war or patriots that really want to fight for the cause. None, brethren. There is nothing that will be able to stop this. Why? Because this is the plan of God. It has been preordained. It's going to happen. Now, I know that there's people out there that think that they can stop the powers that be from doing their evil plans, but let's be honest, brethren. There are forces beyond human strength and power that are going to make sure that these things happen. So, what will be the motivation to allow the beast to rise up? Well, in my studies and in my research when I was preparing for this, and in very long hours and actually months and actually years of study about this whole matter, I have come across some information, and I want to just share a little tidbit of it with you right now. And this has to do with the rise of the beast. Now, again, I don't want to scare you, but you need to know what's going on. To some of you, you might think that this is chilling information. Some of you might not be able to bear the information, but you need to know, brethren, okay? So what I'm about to tell you, by the way, can be verified, and it has been documented. All you have to do is a little bit of research. So if you have a pen and paper, I encourage you to take some notes or go back and listen to this. And if you have the time and you really want to do it through your own research, you can confirm the things that I'm going to tell you. Write down the names and the words that I say, and Google them, brethren. Google them, and you will go down a rabbit hole that will be very interesting with the things that you discover. Now, here we go. For the longest time on earth, there have been individuals, the elite, if you will, that have desired to see this world become unified and global in scope. Who am I talking about? Well, here's where it gets very tricky, folks. There are politicians, scientists, industrialists, and economists who are on record saying that they desire a global government. There are political think tanks that are out there and very elite groups who meet regularly and discuss the direction of world affairs. In the past, these globalist groups denied their own existence. But in the last few years, they are holding their meetings in the open. They're not hiding themselves anymore. They have a sign out in front of their building now. It's just in your face now what they're doing. And I think that's part of the boldness that the enemy, Satan, is operating by right now. His plan is on the fast track, so these things are moving very rapidly. What are some of the names of the groups that I'm talking about? What do I mean? Who are they? Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of a lot of these groups, and to some of you, you might have never heard of these. So if you are the researching type, take out your pen and write these down as I say them, okay? Now, here's the name of the groups that want to see a global government and want to see a one world government. One of them is the Trilateral Commission. Have you heard of that group? Started during Jimmy Carter's era with Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Those individuals started that one. And then we have the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR. That one is established and out in the open. They publish a magazine called Foreign Affairs Magazines, where they talk about all the plans and things that need to happen in this world to get us to a new world order and have global government. So they're another one, the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. And then there's another one called the Bilderberg Group. That's Bilderberg. These individuals meet once a year in a different location throughout the world. They just met a few weeks ago. So write that one down and check it out if you want. And then there's another one called the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome was started in the 70s, and they wanted the fast track to the New World Order. And you can Google them and find out what some of their plans are. And then we have the Committee of 300. I don't want to go into every one of the elements of these people, but folks, I'm just telling you, there are people in very high places in this world that are not satisfied with the status quo of how the world looks right now. They have goals where they want to see a one world global government. And they have writings, they are on record in some of their writings, in their papers, in their speeches, where they have said very, very disturbing and evil things. Very disturbing things. They have insulted most of humanity in some of the things they have said. Some of them are on record saying that this world has too many useless eaters, quote unquote, and these useless eaters need to be removed or cleansed from the earth because they're just taking up room and breathing too much air and eating up the food. These people have said things like this. It's horrible. They have very evil agendas. They have talked about depopulating the world. Some of them have out in the open publicly stated in meetings that the world's population needs to be reduced by up to 80 or 90%. They get very evil in the things they say, brethren. I'm not just making this up, folks. Google it. You'll see that this is true. Now, let's move on. These groups are different, but they have a common goal. And their goal is to see the reality of a dream that they call the New World Order, the NWO. How many of you have heard of it? In this world, they envision an economy that is codependent. What does that mean? It means it is a global economy where all nations are equal in the wealth of their citizens. It also means that the economic classes of the citizens will all be the same. Now, how would that affect you and me? Here's how. It's basically a socialist plan that eliminates the middle class of all the first world countries of the world. Did you hear what I just said, folks? It's a socialist plan that will eliminate all the middle class. That means the middle class of America, the United States, Canada, the UK, Australia must be eliminated and brought down to second world status. That's what that means. Now, some third world countries would be brought up to second world status. So we would have third world coming up to second world, and we would have first world coming down to second world. Now, how is this possible? Well, first, I want you to know that the New World Order is not an idea or a dream from people that you've never heard of. George Bush's father, Daddy Bush, stated during his presidency several times. In fact, on September the 11th, 1990, he made a speech. Interesting date, by the way, September 11th, 1990. Exactly 11 years before 9/11 happened, he made a speech where he said that we are at the dawn of a new world order. Right now, I'm going to play that clip where he says that. So listen to how he says that, okay? Here we go.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Did you hear that, brethren? Some of you might not have remembered that. Some of you might remember it very well. And some of you might not have ever heard it. But he just talked about it right there. And he went on to say this several times. So it's out in the open now. This plan is on the fast track, folks. It's not a conspiracy theory. I just showed you that Daddy Bush said it. So I don't want you thinking that this is just fiction or a good Friday night audio to listen to. This is real, brethren. Now, the interesting thing is that it didn't stop with him. Since then, his son, George W., has also spoken about it. He didn't call it the New World Order. He called it a New Order of the Ages. In addition to him, Bill Clinton talked about it, and a lot of other politicians have spoken of it. Russian President Putin has said that we need it. The president of Iran has also said that we need a new world order. So have some of the leaders in South America. So it seems like we have prophecy in the making right here, because Revelation says that all the kings of the earth were of one heart and mind. There's another individual that has actually been talking a lot about the new world order, and that is the new prime minister of Great Britain, Mr. Gordon Brown, who entered his office a little over a year ago. Actually, it was the 27th of June in 07. And I want to play the clip of Mr. Brown speaking about how great the New World Order is. So here we go. Listen to what he has to say about it.
In 1990, another old world ended, dominated by the Cold War. And people talked then, in 1990, of a New World Order. And what was not foreseen then, but is obvious now from everything that we see and do, and it's only now that we can begin to understand that the world order that globalization brings and what it's going to look like, it's driven forward now not just by the balance of military strength, the Cold War times, or ordinary political power. It's being driven forward by a seismic shift. But what does the new world order mean for countries like ours who are looking to succeed? And the question for us is how we meet and master all these challenges and realizes what I believe is our destiny of success in this new world order. So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges for the future.
That was interesting, right, brethren? So he talks about it. He seems to really be a fan of it. Seems very interesting how the leadership of this world is all on the same page as far as the New World Order. Now, Revelation tells us, let's get back to Revelation. The book of Revelation tells us that the beast will have 10 horns. Now, what are these horns? We did read that these horns are 10 kings, but what does that mean? What does the Bible tell us about that? Are there other verses that talk about it? Yes, there are. Let's look at the book of Daniel, and if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and I'm going to show you a verse that talks about the beast. If you don't have your Bibles, then just write the reference down. Okay, are you there? Daniel 7, 23. Look what it says. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. You see that, brethren? The beast is going to devour the earth, tread it down, and break it in pieces. Now, how many pieces is it going to break the earth into? Look at the next verse. It says right there, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. So, Daniel tells us the earth is going to be broken into 10 different pieces, which will be 10 different kings. Now, how is that possible? There are over 200 nations on the earth, Brother Nathan. How can there just be 10? Well, I'm going to explain that to you. Here in Daniel, though, let it be established, okay, folks? Here in Daniel, we read it again that the earth will be broken or divided up into 10 pieces. So that tells us that there will be 10 sections or 10 regions of the earth. Now, it's very interesting, brethren. This is the exact goal of the New World Order. Now, their goal is to have 10 economic regions of the earth, which will be modeled after the European Union. Now, in a previous broadcast, I touched on that briefly, but we're going to go into it right now, okay? Now, if you Google the Club of Rome or the Commission of 300, you will come across some of their writings where they actually say that they want the New World Order to consist of 10 areas, 10 regions. They want to have 10 economic regions of the earth that are modeled after the European Union. The European Union started in the mid-50s. It was called the European Common Market, and at that time they started with just a few nations, and then in the 80s they went over 10 nations, and now I believe they're up to 27. Now, in the Hal Lindsey books, we were told that the beast with 10 horns comes from the European Union. That is already an outdated theory, and it is flawed because they're way over 10 nations. Plus, we just read that the entire earth is going to be devoured by the beast. That means that the 10 kings are throughout the entire earth. It's much bigger than just the area of Rome, of the Roman Empire, or the European Common Market. Now, these 10 economic regions are going to be modeled after the European Union. How is the European Union modeled? They're an economic bloc where they have trade barriers that have been lifted so they can trade amongst themselves, and they have their own monetary unit called the euro. Now, that's the same kind of model that the New World Order wants to see throughout the world. That means that there's going to be 9 other unions in the rest of the world. Now, how far along are they? Because the only one that we really know about right now is the European Union. But this is what I wanted to share with you folks. Right now, most of the earth is in the process of being in one of those areas, including the United States, in an area of an economic union. The economic union that has been planned for the United States will include Canada, Mexico, and the United States. It will be called the North American Union. Have you heard of it? When you read my article that goes along with this message, I am going to embed a few video links to Lou Dobbs talking about the North American Union. So be sure to check that out. The notes that go along with this. All right? Now, the North American Union has had the blueprint drawn up for it, and it's well underway, brethren. The monetary unit that has been planned for the North American Union is going to be called, like the euro, it's going to be called the Amero, A-M-E-R-O. And Lou Dobbs from CNN has been speaking out on this because this plan is occurring and being carried out without the public's knowledge or without congressional oversight or congressional approval. So most people have no idea that this is going on. Now, what other regions are they working on? What other regions are succeeding at becoming unions? Well, South America is putting the finishing touches on their South American Union. And on my front page on my website, watchmanscry.com, you can go there and read the story. It's there. It started as Mercosur, and now it's going to be the South American Union. Also, We have the African Union that they're putting the finishing touches on. If you Google the word African Union, they even have their own website. It'll come right up. And then we have the Asia Union, the Middle East. And then there are some other ones that they're still working on. Some of the unions, the names aren't figured out, and it might be possible that larger unions will be broken up or divided into two different unions. So this plan is alive and well, brethren, and it's happening. So there you have it, brethren. The beast is rising before our very eyes, and most people don't know this. Why don't they know it? Because people have been looking in the wrong direction. The false traditional teachings have most people looking at Europe. I've heard Jack Van Impe just recently on one of his shows, and he even said this. He said, the beast that's going to come from the European Union. Now, I know, folks, that there's more than 10 in the European Unions, so what you can expect is for some of the member nations to secede from the European Union. We're going to go from 27 down to 10. That's just crazy, brethren. Come on. There is too much pride that is involved in this. We need to have the mind of God and be wise. So, how will these events affect us, though? This is the bottom line, and this is where it becomes personal. How are these events going to affect us? These unions, these regions that the world is working on right now, how will they affect you, my brother or sister? How will they affect me? Well, here is where you may want to be concerned. In order for the New World Order to be successful, there is a main element, a main event, a main thing that has to happen. And here's where it affects you, brethren. The middle class has to be eliminated in the United States, in Canada, in the UK, Australia. They need to get rid of the middle class. And this can only occur through one means, and that is with an economic collapse. That's how they can do it. Collapse the economy, change the scale, the value of the spending of money, change the value of their dollar, of their money. You're going to affect a lot of things if you change the value of a denomination, brethren. You are going to change how far their money can go. And I find it very interesting that right now we may be witnessing this very thing before our very eyes. Here in America, Canada, the UK, most of the world, we are witnessing this right now. In fact, I will even go far as to say this, folks. It is possible that the world's economy right now is being engineered to collapse in a controlled fashion. Now, that sounds very, very crazy to say that, but I think we need to be honest with ourselves, brethren. When you look at the news and the events occurring, and you look at the stock market and the prices of commodities and the crazy news that's out there, it's very weird, brethren. But the New World Order, the elite of the New World Order, have written that this was their plan. And it has been their plan for many years. And they have been meeting and speaking about it. So it is entirely possible, brethren, that we are seeing an engineered collapse. So what will the future hold? Well, if my concerns hold true, it is possible that the middle class life that most of you, most of us, have taken for granted and known our entire lives, they may indeed become a thing of the past. Now, I am aware that these words are not what you want to hear. I'm aware of that, brethren. Are we just seeing a correction in the market, in the housing market, and in 2 or 3 years, the recovery will take over? Folks, I want it just as bad as you. I want that to be the truth. I really do. And I hope that possibly that's only what's going on. I hope that possibly God is going to spank this country and spank the land and purge his people so that we become stronger. And then perhaps the storm will stop and the dust will settle and we will go back to life as usual. I take that one as the first choice, brethren. I do. And that's what I want. However, we cannot dismiss that we might also be seeing Bible prophecy in action, because Revelation just says, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. When the beast rises up, brethren, the land was divided. The regions existed. The 10 kings were there. So, if we're in the end times, brethren, those days, that transition will have to happen at some point or another. Is it happening right now? Are we witnessing it? I do not know, folks. That part I do not know. I just know this, if we are God's children, if we are his people, if we are his remnant, then he's going to take care of us. But I need to qualify that statement. A lot of Christians say, well, I'm God's, I don't have to worry about anything because he's my provider. That's true, brethren. He is a provider as long as we have done what we know to do scripturally with our lives. As long as, folks, as long as. All throughout Scripture, it says it. God told Moses, he told the children of Israel, if you will abide by my statutes. If then you will be blessed in the country and the city, You'll be the head and not the tail, etc., etc. We've heard those, but it's conditional, if. Now, if you do not, then you will be cursed. God said that as well. So, brethren, if we want to be protected during this coming time of trial and purging that is coming upon the earth right now, then we need to do everything that we know to do to make sure that our lives are a prayer of repentance and coming to God and coming to the foot of the cross. We need to make sure that that's what we're doing with our lives, with our family. We cannot be playing games, folks. We need to come to the foot of the cross and let God do His work in us. For some of us, the purging will hurt more than others, but no matter what we go through, brethren, the Bible says that the endurance, those that endure are the ones that will make it. So let us be willing, folks, to be able to take whatever comes with endurance. But also know this, we can't do it with our own strength. It can only be through God. So I'm going to close in prayer now. I know that this was not happy, happy news and information, but it's very serious information that you need to know about, folks. It's serious information that we need to be prepared for. Amen. So, folks, let me say a prayer now, and then we're going to be concluding. Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with every person that's listening right now. Let every eye be open, God, to the truth that you have revealed in this message. God, I pray that every ear would be open, God. Lord, for some people that are struggling with the words that they hear, God, just let your peace come upon them. Let them not be consumed with fear or anxiety. But God, let your peace that passes all understanding be with them, God. Let it go with them. Let it guard their hearts and minds. And God, for those that may be struggling with different things, with some of the vices of the flesh, with some of the weights of this life and this world, God, I pray that you would give them the strength, God, to repent and drop those vices, God. Give them the strength to say no to them. And Father, for those that are being purged even right now, Lord, for those that have lost so many things, there are some people out there, God, that have lost all that they have had. You're purging them already. They're in the wilderness. They might feel lonely, God. They might be in the wilderness with a church that has no walls. They might be out there, God. Be with them. Let them be encouraged and know, God, that you love them. And God, we are all the remnant together. We are a family, God, that spans states and borders and countries and oceans, God. We are a body and a family, God, that is throughout this entire world. Encourage every person out there that is listening to these words. Be with them, God. Let their lives become a prayer to you, God, where their commitment is stronger than ever before. I pray this for them, God, and I pray your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, thank you for listening. I hope that this message specially touches you, and I welcome you to the next one. Again, download this if you have to download it. Share it with your friends. Share it with your boss. Share it with your pastor. But share it, folks. So I love you, brethren. This is why we do this. This is why I'm here. If you have any prayer requests, go ahead and write me and let me know, brethren. I love you, folks. God bless you. We'll see you next time.